Praise God. Tonight's message is a little bit different. It's not necessarily a typical sermon or teaching per se. This is actually a recording that I did a little while ago, and it was something the Lord just kind of flowed out of me for a specific individual, a specific event. But as I've thought about it, I realize there's value to it in the broader perspective. You know, there's things God speaks specifically for specific situations, and yet at the same time, many times we can expand that to our own lives, to many different situations. And I just felt led to go ahead and provide this recording. And so I'm going to, in just a minute here, I'm going to tie in this recording to this message and use that for the message today. In preface, I just want to say that God is a redeemer. He is a restorer. There's that prefix on those words, re. He brings back. He brings back that which is stolen, or that which has been sold into slavery, or that which has been broken, and he brings it back. He restores it. God is the restorer of our souls. And I personally am so thankful and I'm so grateful for the work that God has done in my own life. And so this message contains some of my own testimony, and as well as some things I've kind of learned along the way. But for each one of us, whether it's for us personally, or whether it's for our physical children, or those maybe that we're ministering to, I think there's a lot of things in this that can be helpful, and so I'm just putting it before us, and I'm inviting you to listen up to the Holy Spirit to see what particular part God may highlight to your own life. And so I'm just going to start off here with prayer, and then I'm going to combine this with the following message. So, Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Father, open up our eyes, open up our ears. Help us to see, to hear, whatever it is that you want to speak to our hearts today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Do you know your Father? I don't know what that just stirred up in you to hear that question. I don't know what thoughts or emotions or memories or what else might come bubbling to the surface when you hear the words, "Do you know your Father?" For some, it might bring warm, fuzzy, wonderful memories. For some, it might bring anger or bitterness, resentment. There's a whole list of things, positive and negative, that might come bubbling to the surface. But I want to take us on a little bit of a journey today. A journey about Father. And if that's a difficult subject to approach for you, I invite you to come along anyways. Be brave and come along. You see, I'm going to share my story, and your story may be radically different than mine. But I believe there's probably similarities to some degree, in all of our stories. And I believe God wants to bring healing to our hearts in regards to our fathers, and then ultimately to our Heavenly Father. So I'm just going to tell a little bit of my story. We're going to walk through my life, highlighting just a handful of memories, a handful of things that occurred in my life. Some things that God brought healing and restoration in. And I pray that God would work in and through this to bring healing to hearts, to bring healing to lives. I can tell you there is pain in the journey. I understand. Maybe I don't know your same pain. But God desires to heal and to restore. And so I invite you just to listen. And as we go along on this journey, I just want to give you permission. I want to give you permission to feel what you feel, to allow whatever is in there to come up. And it's okay. This is a safe place. It's a safe place. If there's anything I've learned, I have learned that it's safe to be vulnerable before our Heavenly Father and allow Him to touch areas in our hearts that we might not want to go to. But He does it in love and to heal and restore that which has been stolen from our lives. And He is unlike any earthly father. There are comparisons, but He, our Heavenly Father, is so exceedingly above, so exceedingly better than any of our earthly fathers. Any of our earthly fathers fall short. So don't compare our Heavenly Father with your earthly father. For earthly fathers are only a very, very dim reflection at best to who our Heavenly Father is. All right, so I'm going to dive in here, begin my story. As I'm speaking this here today, I look back and I was born, although yes, I can't say that I exactly remember my first birthday or my zeroth birthday, the day I was brought forth into this physical world. But that was 36 and a half years ago. And you know what? I didn't really have any choice in the matter. I was just born. I didn't get to choose who my mom was. I didn't get to choose who my dad was. But I did have a mom, and I did have a dad. That's kind of a prerequisite, right? You got to have a mom, and you got to have a dad, or you ain't going to come. Now, maybe you never knew your mom. Maybe you never knew your dad. Maybe you did. Maybe you knew him for a season. And then, for one reason or another, they moved on. But regardless, there's a mom, there's a dad. And I had both. I also had a sister. Older sister, who was a few years older than I. And yeah, in our younger years, that was, I had a lot of resentment for my sister. And we had our troubles and our fights and squabbles, but as the years went on, I became thankful for her. But that's a whole nother story, and I'm not going to get into that today. I'm talking about our fathers. So I was born into a very religious family. Every time the church doors were open, again, I talk about the church building. We are the church, but when the church building doors were open, we were there. We were there on Sunday. We were there on Wednesday. And over the years, they had different prayer times or different things. And if the doors were open, we were there. I didn't especially like being there when I was younger. Although I do remember, I have to tell this story. I had this coat, this used coat. Somebody had given it to me, I think. And it was great because the pockets on each side, you could stick your hands in there. And the pockets had ripped out such that I could actually stick my hand in around to the back side inside of my coat. So the whole back inside was like this giant cavity backpack, as it were. And so I would stuff all these Legos. I loved playing with Legos as a kid. And I would stuff all these Legos into my coat. And so I'd go and sit down at church, and then boom, I'd start pulling out all these Lego sets out of my coat. Fun times. But anyways, I can remember, in regards to my dad, I can remember being younger, and there's one memory in particular that stands in my mind. And I don't know exactly how old I was. I was probably, 8 years old or 10 years old or somewhere around there. But my dad and I were driving along in my dad's little pickup. He had this little old pickup. I think it was like a Nissan or something, or a Toyota, I forget. Anyways, this little pickup truck, it wasn't a very big one. He and I were going somewhere. I don't know where we were going, but we were driving down the highway. And as we were driving along, I was talking to him. I remember this so vividly. I was talking to him, and I was telling him about what I loved most at the time, Legos, the Lego toys. I spent hours every day playing with Legos. And I remember I was telling him about my Legos, and I was telling him about all the different kind of Legos, and I was, man, it's amazing. Like they have Lego man hats and Lego men and this and that, and I was just going on and on and on, and at that age I thought my dad was all ears, although as I learned in later years, Dad learned how to tune me out and a lot of stuff, so I don't know if he was really listening or if he was just, yeah, that's nice, David, okay. An hour of talking about your Legos is, yeah, really interesting. But regardless, what I take away from this memory is I remember how open I was. I would just share my heart. I would share what I was interested in with no reserve. I would just talk to my dad. And I enjoyed being in that truck with him, just going and talking. Well, the years went on. And growing up, again, still in my younger years, probably 10 to 12 years old or so, I was still in a season of, I thought my dad knew everything. I mean, I would ask him questions about things, and he was pretty smart. He was an engineer and had a lot of understanding about a lot of things. And I would ask him, and he'd tell me about how different things worked or what this was or what that was. And sometimes I think he kind of made up some of the answers. But regardless, he always had an answer. He always had an answer. And I just thought Dad knew everything. I thought everything he did was right. Until one day. And again, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but probably 10 or 12 years old, somewhere around there. And I remember our whole family, was in our parents' van. Don't remember where we were or what we were doing, but we were inside our parents' van. And my sister and I were jacking around. I don't know what we were doing, but we were getting in trouble. And my dad got after us. And then we continued on, and my sister did something, and I got in trouble for it. My dad punished me because of something my sister did. And it was at that moment when something in my young mind clicked, and I was struck with the reality my dad could do wrong. Not everything my dad did was right. And it shook my world. And suddenly I began to question everything. Everything I'd been taught. Everything he had said. I suddenly realized my dad could be wrong. I began not being so quick to ask him for help, to ask him for the answers to things, because suddenly I realized he could be wrong. Then a little later, a few years there, and I began to hit puberty, going through all that fun stuff. And I got into looking at pornography, other related stuff, and quickly developed an unhealthy addiction. But I was afraid to talk to my dad about it. I was afraid of what my dad might say. And so I hid. And I began building this wall of shame and fear and questioning. First, my dad doesn't know everything. And second, I don't know what he's going to do if he'd find out that I was struggling in this area. There's no way I'm going to approach him or talk to him about this. And so I began to hide. Along with that hiding, I was still trying to please my dad. My personality was one that I was kind of the people pleaser, tried to be. And I wanted to please my dad. I tried hard. Oh, I tried hard. But that's pretty hard to do when your dad is a perfectionist. When your dad's personality is a perfectionist and he demands perfection, boy, it's hard. Or at least in my own mind, it was hard. We homeschooled. Again, I could share many examples, but the one example that always comes to my mind is homeschooling in high school years, actually. I was doing math, and my dad was an engineer, so he was the one helping me with my math and making sure I got calculus and all this stuff while I was still in high school, and which I'm thankful for. But I would take a test, and I would get a score, and I did well. I mean, I would get upper, like a B+ or A-. But I would always make a mistake, and it was something that I knew. I mean, I understood. It wasn't that I didn't understand the material. It was I just didn't see the mistake I had made. I, you know, did an oops. And so my dad would score the test, and he'd look at it, and I would have got a 92 or whatever. And his response would be, "David, you need to be more careful." And so I'd be like, okay. So the next time I'd do my test, and I'd check everything twice. Because I didn't want to make these careless mistakes. And then my dad would score the test and I'd get something less than 100%. Because again, I had missed something. Not because I didn't understand it, because I missed it. Didn't see it. And my dad would say, David, you need to be more careful. And those words would haunt me. And over the years, I would check my test over and over for those specific tests. I had unlimited time to do. And so I would literally check those tests 3, 4, 5 times, getting so anxious, trying desperately to get the perfect score. Rarely did I get a perfect score. And then I would shamefully take my A-, knowing that I wasn't perfect and I had fallen short and I couldn't be good enough. Now, I know my dad was just trying to help me, and I know my dad was proud of me now, but back then I didn't realize that. I was so struck in this, I'm not good enough. Along with that, I also, in the trying to please my dad, I wouldn't stand up for myself. I guess some of that I tried at times to make some suggestions, and I never felt like my dad really took any of my input, and so I just kind of got to this place where I gave up. I didn't try to give any input. And I just, whatever he'd said, I'd just go do. I had outward compliance, but inward resentment and anger beginning to grow and build. I obeyed. I obeyed, but I did not obey out of love. I obeyed out of resentment and anger. But I hid that anger. I didn't allow it to come to the surface most of the time. So then I got to college years, went off, lived by myself for 4 years. After college, I came back to the city where I grew up, where my parents still lived. I got a job there, and because it was the same city, I had the opportunity to come and move back in and live with my parents. They were happy, more than happy to have me, and financially it made sense to getting started with out of college and new job, and so I did. I didn't even realize it, but hidden away within me was something that had grown in my college years of having a little bit of my own freedom, as it were. And hidden away in me was something saying, I will not be controlled by my parents. Specifically, my dad. I will not be controlled by him. For I was controlled for so many years. Now, some of that control probably was unhealthy on his part. Some of that control was just my personality allowing myself to be controlled. But regardless, something had taken root in me and it was, I will not be controlled. And so I moved back in, and of course, my parents were still my parents. They were who they were when I left for college, and I had changed some. And so immediately when they would ask me to do something around the house, oh, this anger. I mean, even if it was something that was totally reasonable for me to do. This anger just burned within me. Most of the time I held it in, but there were times where I lashed out. And I'm sure my parents probably were wondering what all was had happened to their dear son. But with that, I still had no ability to communicate with my parents. I wouldn't allow them below the surface of what was going on. We didn't talk. We did a lot of things together. But we didn't really know each other's heart. Kind of culminated in, I happened to be working at the same company that my dad worked at. And my dad was, I remember, he was so happy. He was like, yes! I mean, he was telling everybody, my son and I get to ride to work together. This is wonderful! And inside, I'm thinking, this is the worst thing ever. I do not want to be stuck in the same vehicle as my dad. Because I had so much anger, so much resentment, so much stuff just burning within me towards him. And I didn't want him anywhere below the surface of my life. And Dad, always, he memorized scripture verses. And he had these cards with the verses written out, and he'd memorize those each day. And he was so excited because now I could help him. I could listen to him speak these scriptures. And then I could tell him if he was doing it wrong. He was so excited. Oh my goodness, I hated that. Again, I still had a degree of my person-pleasingness. And so I didn't say anything. I just kind of went along with it. And while Dad was having the time of his life, I literally wanted to rip his head off. And that's not an understatement. As scary as that sounds now. I mean, I hated his guts. And I remember riding to work day after day after day with just this black cloud, as it were. I mean, I was just, oh. And I had, by this time in my life, I had just completely shut off my emotions when I was around my parents. I mean, just, if I was around my parents, I just shut down. I wouldn't express happiness. I wouldn't express anger. I would express no emotions. And though I'm not sure the fullness of that, I think a big part of that was I didn't want to let them in. I did not want them in to my life. I didn't want them to know what was going on below the surface. And so any emotion was simply this nonverbal expression of what was going on inside, and I didn't want to do that, so I just built this wall, shut down my emotions, and just shut down. I remember literally thinking this. It's like I could almost imagine these walls around me. Like I'd built up these walls with barbed wire, razor wire, with machine guns. It's like, as long as my parents and I keep this amount of distance, everything's okay. But you so much as touch my wall, and you're going to get a blast of machine gun down your throat. And yet, amazingly, being close was the very thing that I so longed for, I so desired, I so, growing up, I so wanted a close relationship with my dad. And we did a lot of things together. But we never had any below the surface, you know, really getting to know each other. That's what I longed. I longed to be known. I longed to be known. But we never had that below the surface connection. And so, though that was my heart's cry, I found my place, myself in this place with the walls built up, with the machine guns in place, as it were, that he's used so much step 1 inch away from me, and I'm going to slaughter you with my words or my actions or whatever. I don't know if you can relate in any ways to any of the stuff that I'm sharing. And again, our stories may be different. We may have been through different things. We might not even have had a father. We may have been hurt by others. But there's all these things that go on. But you see, God is a healer and God is a restorer. And he can do what no man can do. With even a single word, he can speak into our hearts. And he can bring life and restoration. But part of that involves letting him in. Letting our Heavenly Father in. But you see, when we get to this place where it's like, but we have this picture of our earthly father, and we put that up as our picture of who God is, even unknowingly. You see, I did that. I didn't even know I was doing it, but it was like I saw my earthly dad and I made my Heavenly Father into the image of my earthly dad. And that's not true. My Heavenly Father is not like my earthly dad. I'm thankful for my earthly dad. I didn't used to be thankful for him. I am now. But regardless, our Heavenly Father is so much higher, so much greater. And so because I had placed, when I looked at my Heavenly Father, I saw my earthly dad, I kind of had a disconnect with my Heavenly Father just like I did with my earthly dad. You see, I didn't think my Heavenly Father was pleased with me. I didn't feel like I could be good enough for my Heavenly Father. And I tried and I strained. And just like those math tests that I couldn't get 100% on, that same way, I would try to please my Heavenly Father. I tried to do what I knew was right. And while I had some degree of success, I always fell short of 100%. And I was straining, I was striving, I was trying to get to that 100%. If I could just get to that 100%, then my daddy would accept me. Only I didn't know that my Heavenly Father accepted me not based on me getting to 100%. My Heavenly Father accepted me simply because I was his child. So back to this whole thing of, I was just had all this rage and anger and within me. I mean, it had grown to the place where, I mean, I really did. I'm just being transparent here. I wanted to kill my dad. I mean, I didn't want to, but I did. There was something in me that did. It was like, I just want to be done with this whole thing. I want to be away with him. Like, this is so annoying. He's ruining my life. I was kind of ruining my own life, but because the walls I had built up, but I didn't see it that way. And I remember being in that place. And finally, I mean, it got so bad. I mean, I was just constantly under this dark cloud. And I was more and more often having very pointed, ungodly responses spew forth out of my mouth towards my dad. And I can remember some of these very hurtful things that would come shooting out of me. And I would almost shudder because I'm like, ew. I mean, it was not pretty. But I didn't know what to do. I felt like a captive. I felt chained up. I didn't know. I was stuck. And I began crying out to the Lord. It's like, God, you got to do something here. This is really not good. It's not good for me. And it's very quickly becoming not good for my dad. And if things keep going, it's going to get really bad. And in that season, there was a time where I think I was riding home from somewhere. I was driving home from somewhere. And I was just bringing this before the Lord again. I mean, I'd brought this before him numerous times, but I didn't know what to do. And it was just kept being there in my face. And all of a sudden, in the spirit, I just heard the Lord say, David, vengeance is mine. Which is scriptural. Vengeance is mine. It's not mine. Me, David speaking, it's not mine. But God was speaking, it's his. He will repay. In other words, I don't need to be worried about trying to make sure my dad gets repaid for all the wrong that he's done. That's God's job. God will take care of justice. I don't need to. And we can hear those words said, but there's something different when God speaks it to our heart. And that may not be the specific solution for you if you find yourself in this situation. The solution is hearing God's voice speak. It might be a scripture verse. It might be just some random phrase. It might be through, God can use all different kinds of avenues. It might be me speaking here today. It might be a book you read. Who knows? But for me, God spoke those words, vengeance is mine, and immediately it just broke the power of that unforgiveness that I was holding, that I was harboring within my heart. And it was incredible. I mean, it was like night and day difference in that dark, heavy cloud that had been over me for years just went, whoosh, disappeared. Now, let me say, my dad and I did not instantly become close friends, and I still was not ready to allow him in below the surface. But I kind of liken it to this. You know, I talked about, I felt like I had walls and razor wire and machine guns and all this. It felt like in that moment when God said, vengeance is mine, it was like he just took away the machine guns. I still had walls. I still had razor wire. It's like, I still got this stuff built up and I'm not letting you, my dad in, but I'm not going to mow him down and kill him when he gets close to me. And so I was thankful. And part of that whole reality is this, that if we've been forgiven, if I freely receive God's forgiveness, which God has forgiven me, and he's forgiven me of much, he's probably forgiven me more than he's had to forgive my dad of. You know, I've fallen many, many ways. If I receive that forgiveness, that free forgiveness, then who am I to not pass that free forgiveness on to my dad? And that might be hard. I mean, you might be hearing my words right now and be like, you might even know it's true, but still be like, I can't do that. I want to, or maybe I should do that, but I can't. That's where the power of God speaking into your heart comes. Call out to him. Draw near to him. Bear yourself before him And just be real, be transparent, be honest before Him. You don't have to be afraid of Him. You don't have to be like, oh no, you know, if I say the wrong words, or just be real. Tell Him like it is. It's fine. God can handle it. It's okay to say, God, you know, I'm struggling here. I'm angry. Like, I'm angry at my dad. Or you can even say, God, I'm angry at you. I mean, I know I probably shouldn't be, but I am. I'm hacked off. And God, it's okay to let a little bit of that out. God's the one that can heal you. God's the one who can then speak truth into your heart. But we've got to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And thankfully, over the years, I learned to be vulnerable before the Lord. I learned that God could be trusted. I learned that even while I had these walls, as it were, built up to keep my physical dad out, I learned that I could let my walls down when I was around my Heavenly Father. I learned that He was so kind and so gracious and so compassionate, and His words would bring such life. And He didn't come to condemn. I mean, Scripture itself says Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to condemn us. We're already condemned. He came to give us light, to give us life, to set us free. But we have to let Him in if He's going to do that. And so the invitation to be vulnerable before Him, and not to have to protect yourself, and it's a journey, and I understand. I used to not trust God very much, but I'd let Him in just a little ways. You know, if you can kind of envision it as you've got a door, and if you don't want to let Him all the way in right at first, that's okay. Just peep through the little peephole. Say, yeah, Jesus, yeah, Heavenly Father, I see you out there. We can kind of talk through the door. And if that's where you have to start, that's fine. Start there. But begin to get connected, and I tell you, it won't be long before you'll be delighting in spending time with Him. And you can crack the door open a little bit and say, well, okay, we can kind of peek through here and talk. And that's kind of the way it was with my life. It was like a little bit, okay, I can trust you here. I mean, I've got some trust issues. My trust has been abused in different ways over the years, and so I had trouble trusting. But slowly but surely, I learned He was faithful, that He could be trusted, and I could allow Him in more and more and more and more, until finally, dude, I hear the knock on the door, and I'm like, pull that door open. Heavenly Father, You come right in. You just come in and make Yourself at home. And it was in this season where I was making God at home in me, as it were, in some times of prayer, times with the Lord. And in that season, God began to ask me things. He'd be like, David, call me Father, or call me this. And there was one day when God said, David, call me Dad. And I didn't even think anything about it. And I started to call Him Dad. And as I started to call Him Dad, I couldn't say it. And I realized I couldn't call God Dad because of so many hurts and so many things that I still had unresolved with my earthly dad. And I struggled, and I was like, Lord, can I just not call You Dad? Can I call You something else? I'm more comfortable with something else. She's like, will You trust me? Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I do. I mean, I trust You. And God said, well, David, I made your dad. And when God told me, now, thankfully, God had been slowly working His way in and allowing me to get to the place where I was comfortable enough to fellowship with Him, even in some uncomfortable conversations. And God said, I made your dad. And as God said that, it was just, I mean, literally, it felt like God had just punched me in the stomach, like He just knocked the air right out of me. And I'm just like, oh! because I had come to this place where I knew God was good. I knew my Heavenly Father was wonderful. And yet to think that this wonderful God had made and given me my earthly dad was just, oh, what? No, this can't be. How could you do that? Well, it was in that moment where the Lord allowed me to see that all God does is good. And he gave me my earthly dad. And my dad didn't always do what was good. He did a lot of good, and I don't want to take a moment. I'm so thankful for my dad. My dad laid down his life in so many ways. So many ways. He was a good dad, and we'll get to that in a moment here. God said, I made your dad, and it just like knocked the wind out of me. But I began to realize, because God's good, all he does is good. My dad didn't always do what was good. And yet, it was good for me to have my dad. And there's a whole message in all of that that I'm not going to talk about right now. A lot of these things, we need the Lord to speak to our hearts. I mean, I can talk all day till I'm blue in the face, and it's all just words until God breathes that revelation on your own heart. What I'm just wanting to bring us to is this reality of our Heavenly Father, who is not like our earthly dad. No matter how good or how bad our earthly dad was, all God does is good. And we may not always see the big picture. As the days went on, God did many, many, many different times where he helped me talk about and process and deal with and bring healing to many areas in regards to my relationship with my dad. And God exposed many lies that I was believing. There were many lies that I believed about my dad. And I was looking at my dad through the lens of these lies. And as I began to have these lies pulled away, and I began to realize, you know, my dad's imperfect. He's made a lot of mistakes. But, I mean, he wanted to love me. He wanted the best for me. He just didn't know how a lot of times. And he had his own hang-ups and his own issues and his own bondage that he was working through and living through and his own struggles, and began to realize, man, like dad probably wanted people to be proud of him and to accept him. And the Lord began to shift my eyes off of myself and onto my dad, and to begin to realize what I had once seen as this hideous enemy was just a man in need of the same love and the same forgiveness that I was in need of. And I won't share all the things. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. But the Lord slowly but surely began to heal different areas in my heart, different hurts, different wounds, allowed me to free up, and over time began to help me open up. And eventually got to a place where that razor wire, as it were, disappeared from my walls. And then pretty soon it was kind of like I put a window in my walls. Like, I still got the walls there, And the window's not big enough for my dad to fit through, but we can at least open up the window and at least have a conversation and allow a little bit. Dad can kind of see a little bit into my life. And then as the years went on, slowly that window got bigger, and then pretty soon there was a door. And I'd even every now and then kind of let Dad in a little bit. You know, don't get too comfortable, but but eventually, it was just an opening, no longer this door, and then the walls came down and brought to this place where we could actually have a relationship, where we could actually talk about things below the surface without getting angry and upset and hurt and just allowing the light to shine in. I think maybe one other thing that I just share in general with all of this was I didn't realize it over the years, but I was looking to my dad to meet my needs. And again, to a degree, our earthly dads can help meet some needs, and that's right. But ultimately, only our Heavenly Father can truly meet all our needs. God is to be our source. God is to be our supply. Yes, God brings people and He moves through people in many different ways, but ultimately our trust, our hope is not to be in our earthly dad or any earthly person. Our hope, our trust is in God's ability. And the connection that I so desired was really a desire for a connection with God. And as my relationship with the Lord grew stronger, my need for that relationship with my dad began to dwindle away. Now, with that, our relationship actually grew. But it wasn't so much that I'm there trying to suck this relationship. It's like, no, I have this relationship with my Heavenly Father, so now I actually have something to give to my dad. I actually have something that I can release to my dad. Instead of trying to suck out of those around me, I can release that which God has placed in me. No, I'm not perfect. Yes, I fall in many ways. And yes, my Heavenly Father loves me. Isn't that amazing? My Heavenly Father loves me. There's some things in life I would say I probably got a 95% on. I've done pretty good in some things in my life. And my Heavenly Father loves me. And He's okay that I didn't get 100%. There's some things in my life I've probably gotten, well, pretty low grade. Probably a failing grade. And yet even in the midst of those seasons, those times, my Heavenly Father still loved me. Now, sometimes I would hide away in shame because I had got such a poor grade since I'd messed up so much in something in my life. But as I walk, the more I learn to whether I do well or whether I fail, I run to Him. And again, I'm thankful for my earthly dad. I mean, I look back and I realize in many ways Dad laid down His life for our family. He did so much. He did all He knew to try to raise us as a good family, to be a good father. And I really can honestly say from my heart, I'm thankful for Him. I'm so thankful for Him. And I honor His commitment to our family. Is He perfect? Nope. Am I perfect? Nope. But God is good. And God knows what He's doing. So, if I can conclude here, I suppose I'd just conclude with this invitation. First, an invitation to be vulnerable. And you may trust, you may have somebody in your life that you can trust to pray with. You might not. It's wonderful to have somebody to walk alongside you, but quite frankly, the vast majority of my healing came through just personal times of prayer with the Lord. Personal times of encountering Him day after day, year after year. Sometimes I would go in prayer and I'd receive nothing. I mean, I remember there were sometimes I'd wait around 2-3 hours and get like nothing. But I was so hungry for God. I so wanted to know Him. And as He began to heal and bring redemption in my life, I just wanted Him more and more and more. Set aside some time. You'll be glad you did. And it's a continued journey. I have not attained. God still surprises me sometimes where it'll just shine some light on an area and I'm like, whoa, I had no idea that was there. I've walked all this time. You know, I thought I was free. The Lord keeps doing this. He keeps bringing me, freedom in areas. I'm like, oh, I'm free. It's so wonderful. And I go that way for a while. And then God brings another layer and I was like, whoa, I didn't see that. And God brings even greater freedom and allows me to walk more and more free. So anyways, this invitation to be vulnerable before Him, He is trustworthy. Our Heavenly Father is trustworthy. He is kind. He is gentle. If you will allow Him in, if you will allow entrance, and again, even if it's just looking through the peephole in the door, that's okay. Wherever you are at, wherever you can start that relationship, start it. If you can crack the door open a little bit, crack the door open a little bit. Whatever it is, but allow Him in a little ways and you will find He's good. You know, there may be some uncomfortable conversations. There may be some things. He's like, oh, yeah, I don't want to talk. Like when He asked me to call Him Dad. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to. I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. And yet I'd come to the place where I trusted Him enough to know, no, it's okay. I mean, it's uncomfortable. I don't want to go there. But if He's bringing me there, I know it's okay. I know this is good. And man, I'm so glad I allowed Him in to that area where He could bring light and freedom and hope. So I want to give this invitation of vulnerability before the Lord, transparency, allow Him in. I want to give you hope. You say, well, but I'm just bound up. I know what it is. I know what it is to be bound up in addiction. I know what it is to be bound up in anger. I know what it is to be bound up in fear. I know, and I can go down the list. I mean, I used to be a very bound up young man. And God has set me free in so many areas. God is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is a restorer. He can do what seems impossible. So, have hope. Have hope. Things don't have to always be like they are today. It might be an instantaneous thing. It might be a journey. Regardless, even if there's instantaneous things, life is a journey. Walking with God is a journey. We're all learning. We're all growing. Nobody knows all the answers. Nobody's got it all together, except for our Heavenly Father. He knows everything. And He knows you. He created you. And He loves you. And even if you're like, no, there's no way He could love me. Well, talk to Him about it. Don't just assume that He's angry at you. Don't just assume that He could never love you. Take the leap of faith. Ask Him. Let Him in. You see, if He was willing to die for you, then I pray that gives just an inkling of hope into your heart that maybe He really does love you. There's been things in my life that I still, to this day, do not understand. that do not make sense. And I'm just like, I don't understand God. There's one in particular where something happened. I won't share the whole thing here. But something happened and I was mad at God. And I went to prayer and I said, God, I know I shouldn't be, but I am hacked off that you allowed this thing to occur. How could you? You say you're good. How could you allow this to happen? God's response was to show me a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. And while I didn't get the answer to my question per se, I got my answer that I really needed. It was, I still don't understand all that. But I know if you were willing to lay down your very life for me, you were willing to come from heaven to earth, you were willing to experience all of this crud and die in my place to demonstrate your love for me, then okay. Don't understand, but I can't deny the fact that you love me. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He will not turn you away when you come to him. As we close, I think I'll just finish here with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for what you have done, for what you are doing. Thank you. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for your great love. And I thank you for every single person who listens to all of us here. Father, just breathe afresh upon their lives, their hearts. Just ask for the grace to allow you in, to experience your goodness, to experience your freedom as your light shines into their hearts and into their lives. Father, I just speak freedom. I speak hope and peace and love. God, you are more than able. No matter what it looks like, you are able. You are more than able. You are the creator of heaven and earth. There's nothing that's impossible for you. You are the healer and the redeemer, and you are so good. Amen. Well, in conclusion, thank you for listening. I just want to bless you on your journey. Don't give up. Sometimes it can seem like maybe we're not getting anywhere or maybe we're just tired of whatever, but keep going. Keep pressing in. Keep opening that door day after day to allow God into your heart, into your life. Allow him to speak his truth in his life to help you. Again, you don't have to do this on your own. You don't have to keep trying to struggle and strain, you know, come to something. You're like, I can't let go of it, or I can't this, or I can't that. Talk to God about it. Tell him that. It's okay. Say, yeah, well, I'm hacked off at God. Well, tell him about it. It's okay. Say, God, I'm hacked off at you. I'm just hacked off. I don't know what to do. Tell him. Talk to him. Let him speak to your heart. His word is life. And he's good. So, anyways, from my heart, I just bless you. I'm so thankful for you, whether we know each other or not. I'm thankful for your life, and your life has value. Your life has purpose. No matter how broken, how captive, how chained up you feel you are, even if you feel like you've got those walls with razor wire and machine guns still up, guess what? God can come through it all. There's nothing we can do Psalm said, even if we make our bed in hell, there he is. He's everywhere all the time. He's not far away, even though sometimes it might seem like it. He's not far away. He's very near. And he loves you. And he wants you to know he loves you. And he's just inviting you. Come. Come. He says, all who are thirsty, come. All who are weary, who are heavy laden, come. And he'll give you rest. He'll give you rest from all your striving and your strain and your trying to do it all. And he'll give you rest. He'll place his love in your heart. He's good. Anyways, God bless you all. I love you, and I'm thankful for you.